Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Welcome back to Core. This is Core. We talk about video games, all kinds, up and down the industry. Whatever's up, we're talking about it. Games we're playing, but also what's happening in the world of consoles and PCs and everything else. My microphone stand is loose, so I'm going to fix that right now in real time. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger. Welcome to episode 240, and today is Wednesday, October 14th, 2020. We got some stuff to talk about. Not a lot, because it's kind of slow week, you know? On the news front, and that's okay. We're not asking for more. It's totally fine. But a few things happen, and we'll get to those now. All right. This isn't a Warcraft show. You're going to get another one with the instance on Friday. And, of course, Azeroth Roundtable, which John is on. And everyone's going to talk about the pre-patch. So we're not going to bore you too hard here. However, it's noteworthy that the World of Warcraft pre-patch came out yesterday. And had a real hard time getting in at first. Happened at 3 p.m. Pacific, which is 4 p.m. my time, and it was down immediately for me. And then I got in once, ended up with a queue, and was like, I don't know, 96th in line for a while. It finally counted down to number one. And then as soon as it was time for me to go in, it gave me an error and kicked me out again. So it felt like playing WoW in 2004, which was real weird. But anyway, they got it going about an hour after that. And it was no problem. Got in, started a paladin, did a bunch of stuff, got far, did all the new character stuff, playing Wrath of the Lich King again, because you get to do that now. Basically, at a certain point, and you can change this anytime, Bo, you'll like this with Chromie, because she now has an actual job in World of Warcraft that isn't just sitting around or being a part of a esoteric side story. She has her butt sat down in the major cities, and if you are like, I'm going to play Mists of Pandaria for this level 10 to level 50 campaign and see the whole thing in its entirety before I get to Shadowlands. You can do that. But if you get halfway through that and go, ah, poo, this is no good. I don't want to play this anymore. I'm sick of pandas. What if Wrath of the Lich King was an option? You go talk to Chromie in Orgrimmar, in our case. She's sitting on a little thing in a camp down in the corner by the goblins where they live. And, she'll change it. She'll switch it. So it's like she changes time and just goes poof. Oh, now you're over there now. Now, I don't know how it works with like if you're halfway through one of the campaigns, which means you're level 25 in theory, or no, 35 or whatever it is, 25, I guess. Does she put you into that world where you would be at level 25, meaning all the quest combat or content and XP content up till then is now gone and you just start from where you would be? Probably not. I'm guessing you go start fresh there with a scaled world at whatever level you're at. But I haven't tried that.
I think so, because I have a level 35, I think, that was in the middle of Wrath of the Lich King. Or no, it was in the middle of Mists of Pandaria at the time of the squish. And I went back to the city because I didn't know what to do. I was just like, okay, well, I'm a different level than I was. Where do I go? And I went up to one of those war chief boards that tells you where to go. And I had go visit Chromie as one of the options. And then I also had, hey, the Legion's attacking. And I was like, that was a cool event. I'm going to go do that. So I clicked that. and it basically put me in the pre-launch event for Legion. So I went through Orgrimmar and I met everybody, and then it queued me up, and then with a whole big group of people we stormed the beach in that start to the Legion event, watched Tyrion Fordring just get smoked, watched Varian Wrynn just get smoked, I went through all of that, and it just went through. I leveled up while I was doing it, so I think everything just sort of scales, and that was with a bunch of other people around me too.
Right, same. So the way it starts you by default, for me anyway, I don't know if it was the same for everybody, but you do that Exile's Reach new level 1 to 10 experience, which I thought was pretty cool. I liked it a lot. Do I want to do it 10 times? Probably not, but that's, I don't like doing alts
anyway. It might be better than the starting zones, though. The pacing is really
good. It's way better than the starting zones. Way better. I actually really enjoyed that pacing a lot. And I tried to look at it through the eyes of a brand new player or someone who hasn't played in 10 years. And I think it's really good at that. And it's also class specific. So no matter who you are and what you're doing, they speak to you and your specialization, in particular. They'll be make sure to use, pop your bubble or whatever the hell it's called for, what's it called? Divine shield yourself for this thing you got to do. And I don't even know what they tell a hunter to do there. No idea.
I do. So here's the funny thing. My fiance had never played WoW. She dabbled a little bit, but it was just a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? They're about to do this whole new thing. They're about to change levels. Rather than getting into it now, why don't we wait and let's have you go in fresh when they release it?
Yeah.
And so she made a new character. And she went in as a hunter. She's fitting the stereotype of all of us. She's a night elf hunter. And went in, and they teach you how to tame a pet. They basically say, you're not going to be able to face these Quillbor alone. You're going to need a loyal companion. Go out and tame a pet. And then later you gather supplies to create a trap so you can use your first hunter trap. And it's interesting because the Horde and the Alliance are very similar with just weird, funny differences to them. It's little things. You're on the same island after a crash, and you're meeting people that are very similar. On the Alliance side, there's a lady and her son is missing. On the Horde, it's this orc lady and her daughter is missing. One of your first quests you rescue on the Alliance side, a little gnome. On the Horde side, it's a goblin. But then every now and then it diverges in a weird way, because basically there's an army between you and the person you need to rescue at one point. And on the Alliance side, the gnome goes, hey, I got an idea. I have this shrinky growy ray, and we're going to send you out there to enlarge a boar to go charging down and destroy the army. And for the Alliance side, you do it. You successfully grow a boar to a massive size, and then you ride a boar through this army and kill them all.
Yeah.
For the Horde, the growy shrinky ray never works.
It fails.
And instead, they just decide to attach you to a little helicopter propeller, and you just blow everybody up with bombs.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny, the little differences that they throw in there, but
the fact that they even bothered with that, to make those two experiences different, tells me that they want to at least encourage a surface level replayability for alts and for alternate factions that you don't feel like you're getting the exact same cut and paste experience when you go through there, which is probably good.
And it makes it a little more entertaining to be able to go, last time I was on a pig, this time I'm blowing them up. What fun is this?
With that JPEG rope that you got, it's pretty ugly.
Oh, that rope is awful. I saw you post about it, and I had been thinking it because I had just seen her do it right around the time you posted that. There's every now and then WoW really shows its age, but it's still a very pretty game. Like that cutscene of the wave coming, and that island is all really good looking, and
I feel like calling Blizzard and just saying, hey, Sony called and wants their PlayStation 1 texture back.
flat rope texture.
It looks so
bad. It is one of those textures, too, that is flat no matter where you look at it. Like, it's straight out of, like, Duke Nukem 3D.
Yeah.
It's really, really
it's a 2D bitmap, then?
Yeah, oh,
pretty
yeah.
Pretty much,
what it yeah. is. Like, any angle, yeah. it's the same. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Didn't I thought I put it in our Slack. I may not have.
And but it's huge.
It's like, humongous.
They have upscaled it.
Are those
to
the ropes from Brewfest? Because when you're doing the Brewfest rams, I remember the ropes looking like that.
Yeah, very similar.
On the ram and
very similar.
It's similar.
Yes. I wouldn't
Although
be surprised.
I think the Brewfest ropes might look better. Honestly,
when was the last time you participated in Brewfest activities?
I don't know. It's been a while. Ever since Ben stole a mount from me, I've been pretty bitter towards Brewfest.
Yeah, Brewfest is not your jam. Since then, here
no,
you go, Chad. I'm going to show the chat room this.
He knows what he did.
So what's there. Exciting about playing World of Warcraft in pre-patch? Like, I've played during pre-patch, so I have a general sense of what the answer is, but.
Well,
you
it's pretty much as simple.
Cool
as,
right
it's
now?
As simple as this. So normally, a pre-patch means that you're getting all of your new abilities for the classes you already know and like, and whatever, and you're just going to play around with those for a little bit. And normally, it's a shorter period between that pre-patch, you getting used to the new ropes, no pun intended, and then the game comes out, and then you're doing that. Well, that got delayed. The game got delayed. Shadowlands, the expansion. So. The best you can do right now is still check out all that stuff. Here are the other features, the major features. Character customization has been completely overhauled and is pretty cool. It's kind of their effort to say, look, we realize that every other MMO on the market lets you do a lot more with character stuff than we do. And that's been true since the beginning. It's always been a complaint, but now it's kind of hard to ignore just how minimal it has been. And wow, while others are innovating in that way, customization turns out people like it. So, they've really expanded that. When you make a new character, there's a lot of animation going on and explosions. If you're making like a warlock, it's just crazy. And so you get to see the character in action wearing a full set of gear or whatever. And then when you start to customize, you can do special tattoos, different kinds of hair. They've separated the facial from the head hair, which was not true before. And now those two things can be mismatched any way you want. Tattoos, war paint. Skin color now has a huge range from very dark and black and browns and dark purples all the way up to very light pinks and just a huge range of skin tone, hair color, the color for the paint on your face, all that stuff is all revamped. So that's another thing you can do with either creating a new character or taking your existing to the barber in one of the towns and making those changes to that person. So I've, you know, GURPS now got like shock red hair and like a big yellow piece of war paint over his face and he just looks pissed. Like it's, I'm having fun with that. So that's a major inclusion in the game that goes along very nicely with this new player experience. So the onboarding experience, Bo, literally replaces starting zones. Although you can go do those still, if you want to, you get a choice basically when you make a new character. Do you want to go to Exile's Reach, which is this new thing, or do you want to go to your original place and start fresh? You choose Exile's Reach because it's new. But also it gives you just a really good idea of what you're going to do. And basically you play 10 levels of content in there pretty quickly. John, yeah. I don't know how long I'd say I was in there. Probably an hour, maybe
if
less.
You know what you're doing, you'll fly through it.
Yeah, you'll rip through it. If you're new, you'll take
really
your time
short.
And you'll read the quests and you'll take in the scenery and you'll be probably a little more methodic if you've never played before. But it felt just about right to me in terms of timing for someone like me who's been
what
playing
what I liked,
years,
one thing,
years.
Just tell me if you agree on this, because I thought this was neat. It felt like a mini like D&D one shot, Exile's Reach. It was
bit,
like,
yeah. Yeah.
Hey, you're part of a party. You're going to this island because a boat, or you're going in this area because a boat went missing. Oops, you crashed. You better get your party back together.
Yep.
Oh, something's going on. They're abducting people. There's a mystery going on. Oh, they're trying to resurrect a dragon, you know, yeah. Like you got to stop it. It's all self-contained. And I think it's probably the smartest thing they did, because if you've ever played through like the Blood Elf starting area, you start off and you get this intro and it's like the Blood Elves didn't have access to the Sunwell, so it has been restored. It's back and it's great. And then you start doing quests and they're like, man, the Sunwell, guys, it got destroyed. Ugh, it's real rough without the Sunwell. And you're like, wait a minute, the intro just said it was back.
Yeah.
Why are we talking about it being destroyed? Then you go back out into the world, and because that's Cataclysm, which was after, it's back again. Mm-hmm. But then you go to Lich King, and it's back to being destroyed. So it does weird time things, but by taking something and doing just like an isolated story,
yeah,
they've really made something that it doesn't matter where the game goes. Exile's Reach will still make sense as long as there's a Horde and an Alliance to speak of, which I can't imagine them changing that foundation.
Yeah, I don't think that gets changed, but I think you're right. And it's a great comparison because it does feel like a little mini campaign where you start out as a nobody, you get up to speed, and they do some tutorial stuff that I obviously know, but it's fun to see how they decided to show some of that, like teach you combat, right clicking does this, regular clicking does that, how to manage your inventory, bring up your character sheet, swap out the thing that just dropped. Like, they're all big icons and arrows pointing at things and all that. You can turn all that off, but I wanted to see how they did it. Anyway, they even take you, Bo, this is pretty cool. They take you through all the common scenarios of the game. So at first it's like, here's a simple go gather stuff quest. Okay, well done. And they're doing it with a bunch of story, but they're basically, that's basically what they're doing. And then they say, well, here's a multi-part quest. Here's a thing where the one guy needs you to do the three things. Oh, and here's one where four of us have quests. Go do all four of us. And it turns out some are in the same areas. So, you know, two birds, one stone out here. Go ahead and kill those things and pick up the birds and then come back. I don't know why I said birds, but then come back and then turn it in and you get the thing. And so they're teaching you the systems of the game that have always sort of been there and you take for granted just because you know it. And they're walking you through it. But my favorite part probably was, I mean, they do like outdoor eventy kind of things. So you learn those. You learn how to go underground and do something in there and like all that. But then eventually they run you through a dungeon. And it's legitimately a dungeon. These things are all elites and your teammates who are the same NPCs you came in with and they've been working with you to figure all this out. They do their different roles. And if you're a healer, she'll say, keep us alive while we're fighting these things. Use your healing abilities, whatever. Or if you're the tank, she'll say, well, she is the tank. So it's kind of like multiple tanks, but she'll tell you what to do based on your kind of who you are. And then you conquer this full on dungeon that's built into this thing. You'll never see in any other part of the game. It's just a dungeon on this island and it's short and quick. You get done with that dungeon. There's some big story ender stuff. And then you fly, the Horde comes to the island to figure out what's going on the Alliance side. And then you fly to your major city. And in my case, a goblin gave me a tour of Orgrimmar. Here's where you fly. Here's where you go to the bank. Here's how that works. Like, all of that stuff gets explained to you. And you get a mount when you walk out of there. So you can start. Oh yeah. You start riding right away. Like as soon as I got to Orgrimmar, I had one of those birds.
They got to give people mounts now. What's it like to start World of Warcraft in 2020 and be the only guy walking around with nothing?
Right. But I will say having a mount at level 10 is weird. It's a weird feeling because that was never true in the past. It was originally 40 and 60 and then 20 and 40.
I made the trek. I'm sure you guys have done this. I made the trek between Razor Hill and Orgrimmar like 5,000 times, like enough in my lifetime if I have to do it again, I don't want to.
You won't ever have to do it again. In fact, that's the beauty of it is it felt contained. So there's the story continuity that felt good. It didn't feel discordant with all these weird things that have happened over 15 years in the game. And at the same time, I think if I was a new player, I would have really appreciated this kind of approach. Because it really was very laid out for you, like what you need to do. And then when you got done and in Orgrimmar, you have to go talk. Oh, the very first thing it had me do is go talk to Sylvanas. And then she started Battle for Azeroth content, which you can then go do if you want and do level 11 through 50. That can be your next campaign. I was like, no, I just got done with this place. Don't want anything to do with it. So I went and visited Chromie. And she switched it to Wrath of the Lich King, and so that's what I'm doing. And you get to play Wrath, Mists, BC. There's one more.
Cataclysm?
No, because Cataclysm, isn't Cataclysm, it's so smeared out that I don't think they have it as a standalone. It's something else. Oh, Legion.
Warlords.
Legion. There's Warlords in there? Maybe.
I would think so.
So I think those five, everything but Cataclysm, because Cataclysm's technically everything, right? Like it's not a single.
it's happened and it's not a single
it's pieces
area.
And parts and stuff all over the place.
If I understand, is it your own personal instance of these expansions, or is it a shared,
it's like still separate shared
server, for lack of a better term, like a shard, like you're not playing in Azeroth Prime. Like, if I understand correctly, you join this area. Let's say it's Wrath of the Lich King. It's not Wrath of the Lich King in Azeroth Prime in terms of what the players you see. It's the time walking.
Right.
Wrath of the Lich King. That's what
they call it. She calls it time, and then, what do they call it? Time walking campaign or time?
If they actually time walking, call, whatever. They actually call me, it I that. Assume it's that. And yeah. And then when you're done with that, you go back to Azeroth Prime and everything is in the current state of the game as it is. You're done with this instanced area forever.
Right. Basically, that's it. And so you now, like I said, you can switch in the middle of one of these to one of the other four campaigns if you want to. But now these campaigns are treated as separate standalone experiences that you can go through and still go through with all the friends and random strangers you want to if they're also choosing that campaign. Yeah. But if you go switch with Chromie, she switches you to another time.
The big problem with the endgame expansions, even in original organization, is that they have a lot of endgame content that like is still gated behind doing your dailies every day and
right.
doing certain tasks, like all that stuff. You still got to earn the vanilla way. Are they shortcutting any of that stuff, like to earn rare stuff and, you know, Burning Legion or whatever?
You'll just outgear that stuff because remember, see, this is what was so weird. I'm literally standing in, what do I want to say? Salazar. What's it called? Zanzibar.
Salazar.
What's the name?
Zanzibar.
Of the, what's the troll city in BFA? Can't think of it.
Oh,
Zandalar.
Zandalar. Yeah.
I'm standing in Zandalar at Zanzibar. Level 10. Level 10. Yeah. Like I used to be in, I wasn't even halfway through Durotar when I was level 10 back in the old days. Right. So this weird feeling of like, oh my gosh, I'm here and Professor. The lady, Trelawney. What's her name?
Princess Talanji.
Yeah, Talanji. She's
I always mix up princesses and professors too. Don't
worry all the
about
time.
It.
It's a real
basically
thing.
The same job. Yeah.
But she basically says, "Let's go do this thing," and I realize, "Oh, I'm starting the BFA campaign." It's just a very different approach. Now, if I go get a main like GURP, GURP's in modern day. WoW, everything has already happened. Sylvanas is long gone. Bane Bloodhoof's in the hold, and he's there to talk to me, and he's basically acting war chief and all that. I don't know where Thrall is, but we're at the end. Story-wise, GURP is hanging out at the end of what happened in BFA. But any new characters or mid characters are sort of midway, you just all two haven't played in a while. They're all in this space where they can go now choose these other things. Or if they want to, they can go through the entire thing old-fashioned way if they want to. I don't know why you would. That seems weird. But you can go start in the troll area as a troll and beat your way through that business and keep going or whatever. But it feels like they've just embraced this idea that story continuity is never going to work unless you play this game with it, which is, hey, what if there's different timelines? And what if,
and it's not doled out that way. I'm not disappointed because I understand why they would leave the original game that way, but I know leveling alts, everything would be smooth up into 60 and I'd be ready to move on to Burning Legion. And I go into Burning Legion and be done by the time I get to Zangarmarsh and ready to move on to Wrath already.
Yeah.
So like if this was your first time experiencing it and you were like, I'm going to enjoy all the story and all the expansions and who cares about current game, which is a feeling I had when I started. I wasn't in a rush to get to Burning Legion. I played vanilla WoW. Mm-hmm. It just kind of sucks to feel like, well, you put your foot in there and it's done. I wonder how people will take it when they can just play like a sixth of the history.
I think it's
reasonable to play all of it anyways, but you know, if they could truncate it so that it was a,
well, remember, you know, it's scaled. So if I jump out of, you know, I'd start at level 10 in Zandalar, but I'd leave and go do Wrath until level 30. Then I come back to Zandalar. I'm right back where I was, but now I'm level 30 starting Zandalar and I have to talk, and everything that's going to happen from here forward is level 30 scaled. So in theory, you could go do everything in the game. You might hit 60 and it won't matter, or 50 rather, before this would matter. But if you wanted to, the whole world will scale with you. So you can go do it all in order. If you really want to see it all, you could.
Okay. So the reason I think it's better this way is because with just the way they have adjusted the game and experience and all of that, even if you tried to play this in a like a purist sense of like, I'm going to go through the vanilla zones, you know, even though technically they're in cataclysm form now. And then once I, you know, once I would go to Burning Crusade, I'm going to go there and I'm going to go in order and I'm going to do every quest. You'll out level Burning Crusade content long before you're through all the quests.
Right.
So you would then still have to be doing it for almost no benefit to in order to play all of them. What this time walking does is it basically says, okay, we're going to put you in that expansion and that's going to take up your leveling experience. Right. And you'll get to see the entire thing. So while you're not going to get every expansion doled out over those 50 levels, you will get an expansion that you can play through all of.
Oh, and so this is an important decision for a new player. Like,
yeah,
you got to recommend Wrath, right? Like,
I would
the best expansion.
That's like, what I would do.
Don't play the others.
Like, Miss of Pandaria is rad too. I almost chose Miss cause I love Miss. So
I think one of my least favorite expansions is probably the best choice.
Oh,
I think Warlords of Draenor, which is the bottom of my favorite expansion list. I do not like Warlords. I think it has the best leveling campaign.
It had a really good campaign. I agree.
I think it's really solid from the, like, right through the portal dealing with Gul'dan, and you've got Khadgar blowing up dams and stuff, and it's just, it's got a good flow to it. Yeah. Like,
and
I hate Warlords, yeah. I think that leveling campaign is freaking solid.
And I disagree with Benjamin in the chat. The Garrison progression is great. It's Garrison endgame and Warlords in general endgame that's bad. So if it were me, I loved everything about the leveling experience, including the Garrison parts of the leveling experience. I loved all that. I thought I was playing one of the best expansions. It's when you got done that you went, oh, we're just going to grind this for 2 years. Like, that's when things got weird. So I agree. That's actually not a bad idea. It's also still looks really good there. I still use a gun skin from that expansion that I'll never give up. I freaking love this gun. And they have yet to make a better looking gun in the game. Even the best dropped loot anywhere. And nothing looks as cool as this gun that I got in a trash, the Garrison trash tent thing. The goblin that gives you trash or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
The shitty gun with, like, got tape around it. And it's hard for me to explain. I'll show you a screenshot later. It's the best gun in the game.
Hmm.
And it's the only one I like out of the entirety of this thing. If I'm doing guns, there's plenty of bows I like. Bows are fine. But anyway, the point is, here's the thing, Bo. Even if you wanted to, you hit that level 60, you can still go do all that other stuff. If all you want is story and get through those progressions, you're not going to get XP. You're not going to develop any of your skills because you've already done that. You basically capped out, but those worlds will scale with you. So if what you're looking for is, well, I just don't want to do that. I want to do that area. I want to do Mists of Pandaria just to have experienced it. Mm-hmm. Even though I won't get an ounce of XP because I've already hit 50 and I'm waiting for Shadowlands, you can do it. You can totally do it.
Okay. Well, I mean, that sounds good. And does your quest completion carry over into the real world? Or Azeroth Prime?
Yes. Oh, yeah. For sure.
Not real world, but, you know, the Prime, Azeroth Prime. Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, I think that sounds good. Like, I wonder, you know, I ask for everything. So I'm just, basically you just play all. So you play like, my warrior goes to Wrath of the Lich King. Oh, I want to roll a mage. Let's send him to Warlords of Draenor or whatever. So I think that makes sense.
That way, at least you're getting progression, right? Because if you don't, if you do it that way, you're saying it's good all progression. Because if you're going to see that zone or that expansion, you may as well level a tune up while you're doing it.
Yeah. Right. And Shadowlands is poised to be really good. So maybe if they're funneling people towards the expansion, that's what people should be doing these days in 2020 with World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Because, like, the best stuff is going to be in the latest effort. Right.
So yeah, I'm just weirded out by how much I'm enjoying the pre-patch. I didn't think I was going to care as much as I'm liking it. So
absence makes the heart grow fonder. We've been playing a lot of other games and MMOs and just coming back. I think I would skip playing Shadowlands, but I'm really curious about Torghast.
Yeah. Torghast is interesting.
Has anyone played? Has it been demoed?
Played it in the beta and I know I'm going to like it. But I stopped playing too much of the beta because I hate betas because I don't want to waste all my time.
That's interesting. That's what'll get me is like if Torghast is a good time, then I will play Torghast.
What if Torghast
they do the thing you want it to do where they overpower you in stupid ways while you're doing a run through the game?
I was gonna say it's very Hades that way.
Yeah,
it's endless too, right? It's endless.
In theory.
In theory, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm you know, I kind of like the idea of single player instance content that is like, you know, you can improve. Like, the what was that place in Suramar? The Crypt of the
Elves. Yeah, where you would do your Withered training, army training.
That was my favorite part of the whole expansion. That you know, and it wasn't that great, but I loved it, you know, and so I hope they do more.
Like a that was like a little mini roguelike as well, wasn't it? Kind of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
they did it again with Chromie later as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like a little blueprint for something they could do with the engine that's a completely other game. Just like Arena is a completely different game than, you know, PvE instancing, right? It's like these two games in a game. So if they want to make a third game, it's a single player roguelike. I'm kind of interested. So.
Yeah, it looks great. It played great for when I played it, and it was early in the beta. They made a lot of changes since, but it's probably the thing I'm most excited about with the beta outside of this alternate character stuff. But I'm going to play this paladin all the way to 50 so I can get that experience, see Northrend again through fresh eyes. I mean, I can already tell you it doesn't look as good as the newer stuff. I can tell you that, like, visually, it's just, it's older and a little square, and, you know, it's not
some dated elements to the quest where you're like, you turn something in and then they send you exactly where you were standing and you're like, wait a minute, I was just there.
Yeah.
I thought we figured this out. If you need me to do two things in a place, you tell me both things and I go there and do them both.
That might be why Warlords is actually a good call, because I think they hit their stride with quest design. But they also hadn't gotten too annoying yet with what World Quest turned into. So they were more like area quests. Like, you just sort of bump into, oh, look, I can get 50 of these while I'm here, because there's just a random sort of happening thing, almost like a world event. Mm-hmm. Those went away in favor of World Quest, but that was kind of the proto World Quest. And those are actually pretty good. And they don't feel like you're repeating a lot of stuff. It's just I think John's onto something there, actually.
There's some cool stuff in there. I like doing my runs in Shattrath. And I like joining random parties in Raid Finder and running around in circles in the Black Rock Pit. Yeah. Like, you just run around in endless circles killing mobs. And I wasn't even doing anything. I was just hanging out.
Sure. Yeah.
And by the way, in the training, Exile's Reach, they teach you how to type to open trade chat, type anal, and then shift click an ability. You were talking about all the essential parts of the WoW experience. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure every time I've logged into the past 3 years, this game gets played in trade chat.
Someone briefly
have to know how to
Thunder Fury, Blessed Blade of the Wind Seeker, Singer, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Well, does that still get you banned, or is that
The anal thing? I don't know if it does.
No. The Thunder Fury thing.
Oh.
No, I think you can still get it.
Okay. No, I thought maybe posting that stuff in trade chat was actually bannable, but I don't know. I'm getting my information from trade chat.
The first thing I did when I logged in was my first mistake. Back in trade chat, and I left trade chat immediately.
Never get your information about trade chat from trade chat.
It's funny how bad trade chat manages to be across all servers all the time. Like, it's
pretty bad.
You know, it's like the sun's always going to be there, whether humanity exists or not. And I feel like when we die out, trade chat will still be there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, it's true.
It's overall, though, pre-patch is neat. I mentioned we wouldn't talk a ton, but it's hard not to. If you're a WoW fan, it's exciting to see some big changes. So here they are. They're coming.
It's exciting. Shadowlands has the best expansion, most hyped I've been for an expansion.
Same. I'm excited too. The last one was, you know, more or less a big bummer, although I enjoy it. Again, I enjoy the leveling. That's where the strength of WoW is for me anyway, is when I level. It's what they do afterward that either holds me or doesn't. And the last expansion did not hold me in that way that I thought it would, or I'd hoped it would. Legion did. Warlords didn't. Myst did. Like, it's an every other kind of Star Trek problem right now with Star Trek movies.
The stuff we got into in the early days of the expansion was my favorite stuff.
Yeah.
Like, remember us just hanging out and raiding that Alliance town with War Mode on?
Yeah.
And just beating them up as they're trying to get their quests done. And then I finally played an Alliance character and realized that's like one of the first questing hubs. It was just a bunch of low level people we were beating up.
Awesome.
It was great.
It was great. We did that for like 2-3 days and we couldn't get enough of it, and I loved doing that. you know, War Mode had a draw to it, I guess, in those early days. And now it's like, I don't even think about War Mode. But yeah, it'll be good to see. What's interesting is I think a couple of things got lifted from another game I'm playing, which I'll get to soon. But one of them was, I don't remember in any of WoW's history where it's ever said, select somebody and then type slash bow or slash dance or slash something. The game has never told me to do that. In Exile's Reach, it tells you to do that to the ogre guy. And I went, where have I seen this like just recently? And I realized I had just done it in Final Fantasy 14. So I think they may have taken a couple ideas. It's a dumb thing. It's just something I noticed because I've been playing that game, which I'll talk about here soon. And if you tuned in tonight going, oh man, when's Scott going to talk about his experience in Final Fantasy 14? Don't worry. I have stuff to say. And so does John. He's played it as well. I want to bounce some things off of him because he got, I think, maybe further than I did or I'm at. I'm at level 30. How far did you get?
I think 50.
Okay. I got stuff to say about that game. We'll get to it though. All right. A couple other things going on. Modern Warfare finally let you delete nearly 100 gig from its install. That includes the
campaign. That's nice of it.
I know. The campaign and Warzone, basically, you just trim those out, and it's about 100 gig, 75 to 100 gig worth of content suddenly freed up on your hard drive. I like the new Modern Warfare. I don't like it enough that it feels like it needs its own hard drive to live. So I took it off because, my gosh, it's just too big. And the fact that it's still like 100 gig or whatever it is, 80 gig left after you take that 100 off, it's crazy. And their patches are like 40 gig. I mean, it's like that game doesn't even believe in data caps. It doesn't think they exist. Because how could you have a patch 1 week that's like, oh, a 50 gig patch? Don't worry about it. Just go ahead and download it.
It's got to be all high res textures, right? Like that.
I don't know what they're doing.
There's that much space, but those super text, like, because I know some games, they'll give you the option of downloading the upgraded textures because, God forbid, if you're not using it, why do you have it?
Right, right. Yeah. But in this case, it's just the game, and it's huge, and I uninstalled it because I'm tired of that. I even like the game, and I like playing it once in a while, but I don't want to just keep 200-something plus gigs of... I mean, that thing's bigger than World of Warcraft. It's bigger than...
I mean, it's just a shooter. What's it running?
What's going on?
Price's beard.
I mean, I just sunk like a billion hours into a 4 gig game. What do you need? Like, it's got endless dialogue.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know 3D graphics need what it needs, but it just seems like a lot.
It's a lot. For what it is, it's a lot. I don't know if they just don't optimize or if it's just, there's something I don't know about. I don't know, but got rid of it for that reason. But you can do that now if you want. If you played the campaign, you beat it, you don't want it anymore, or you don't like to play Warzone, just take those out of there and you're left with the multiplayer, normal multiplayer with your skins and everything, and you're good to go. Also, Spider-Man Miles Morales coming to PlayStation 5 exclusively. Still a launch title, as far as I know. Has a cat in a backpack, and you can pet it. It also helps you fight.
Yep.
Do you see this, John? I thought of you.
Yeah. It's good. I don't know. I have a cat. I don't really like cats, but I have one and he's all right.
Wait, you have a cat, but you don't like the cat?
He wasn't my cat.
Oh.
He joined with the rest of the family.
You inherited this cat. Okay, I got it.
He's an inherited cat. Yeah, it's actually pretty cute. You know, there's little cat in the backpack. Spider-Man's doing all these flips. You know, try not to think about what that's doing to the cat in the backpack, but then the cat will occasionally jump out of the backpack and claw the villain, and that's exciting.
Yeah.
You know, people like cats, it turns out. If you want somebody to pay attention to your game, put a cat in it.
Yeah. Cats. The internet. It's a thing. It's a known quantity.
Match made in heaven.
Yep. So I guess
is this a big jump from the Spider-Man game? It looks really...
Oh, yeah.
Looks really cool, and I didn't play the first one. I'm like, maybe I should play Spider-Man.
Oh, that's
you should.
Game.
It's a great game.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it.
I'm gonna have to ask for my PlayStation back.
Who has it?
Mike. He's playing Rocksmith on it.
Oh, Mike. Oh. Has it.
All right, time to give it back, Mike.
Yeah,
gotta play Spider-Man.
The visual quality is definitely marked. It's a beautiful upgrade. I mean, all that shiny light on him is basically ray tracing stuff going on and all that. But yeah, if you want a cat in Spider-Man, good news. Miles Morales has a cat. What else? First trailer for the Monster Hunter game, movie arrived. You guys, did you guys see this?
No, because I don't
guess
know.
Guess who's starring
in
it?
I don't play Monster Hunter.
It's what's her
guess,
name?
Guess which Capcom superstar is in this?
Lilou Multipass. Oh,
the Fifth Element is in this movie.
Yeah, the Fifth Element, yeah. The Multipass. She's in here, and it's
like what? How much money are they giving her? I've never seen an actor like stick to a franchise, a crap franchise for so long. Like, or maybe it's just me. It's like,
well, I think it was her husband that did those movies, right? Yeah,
Paul Thomas. Oh, well, or not Paul Thomas.
I'm sorry,
W.S. Anderson.
Mr. Jovovich. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they were
I'm
married.
Sure your movies are great.
I don't know if they're still married or not. And he didn't direct this, but this looks like one of those. Like, it's one of those. This is film sack.
Like Capcom called, and they're like, "Listen, you're the only one that takes our calls."
I like this article. That just says there are many elements from the game, like a Rathalos and Diablos showing up in the trailer. It's just one of those things that if you're outside of the game, it's like listening to somebody talk about Pokemon and you don't know what Pokemon are.
Yep.
They're like, hey, this trailer's got a Rathalos in it. I'm sure that's extremely exciting to somebody.
Yeah,
I have no idea what that means.
Yep. From what I can tell, here's why I have a problem with it.
Oh, T.I. is in it.
This that's not my problem. My problem is that this movie looks okay. It looks like what's happened is a bunch of military people have crossed over into another dimension.
The monster hunter dimension.
Yeah. And in this dimension, everyone's hunting monsters. So they have to learn how to monster hunt and get giant
swords
on their backs.
Do they use big weapons or are they using guns? Because I'm seeing a lot of guns in the early part of this.
Early part is guns, but I think later here you see her with a big, like, Final Fantasy VII ass looking sword.
Okay, oh, well, good. I'm listening.
Yeah.
Oh.
Let me see if we can find it here. I'm waiting for this to sort of finish itself.
I see they also saw the film Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah, bit of that there.
Yeah.
Oh, she's double. She's got double, some kind of cool, what do you call those? Rogues use them. Daggers.
Glaives. War glaives.
Oh. Daggers.
She's got rogues daggers.
Rogues love them.
Yeah, rogues love those daggers. And I think toward the end here, she jumps up with a huge sword, too big for her, like a cloud sword. Is it in this scene? No, they cut it. It's not in here. I've seen some screenshots.
There was a big sword. It's very quick, but it's in there.
Yeah. So that's a thing. That's a deal.
Man, they must have got a deal on this desert, though. That's for sure.
Yeah. Anyway, it's real dumb, and I can't wait. I'm actually kind of excited about it because it sounds
stupid.
It's
the kind of thing that, like, is like based on the past pedigree. I don't know if Resident Evil movies are good. I don't think they're good. So based on the past pedigree, I'm like, someone in chat was like, "Yeah, it's her husband directing this," and I'm like, "Yeah, it's gonna be a pass."
Is it Paul W.S. Anderson back? No way. He makes terrible films. He made the Mortal Kombat movie, which is about the best thing he ever made. IMDb. Hold on. We're gonna look this up because now we must know.
As far as video game movies go, you could do a lot worse than the first Mortal Kombat and the Resident Evil.
I know. I mean, like, I might watch it, but, you know,
I'm not going to come to their defense. Yeah. I'm just going to say they're in a world where most of them are not even competent.
Let me be polite
about it. They're movies.
Let me be polite about it, even though I really think the Resident Evil movies, like, stink really hard. You know, maybe it's just not for me. That's all.
Okay, sure.
That was very diplomatic.
But. Just a confirmation. It is Paul W.S. Anderson, her husband, directing this. He did AVP. He did a bunch of stuff.
Oh, AVP.
I liked AVP in
Look,
theory.
I think there's movies by Paul W.S. Anderson I like, but those movies you said are not good.
No, they're not. They're not.
Let me just see here.
By the way,
he did Mortal Kombat as well. That's
awesome. He did Mortal Kombat. T.I. is in this. You're right. He plays Link. So Nintendo crossover confirmed. He plays Link.
He plays Link.
Yep. That's
so
the name.
Pandorum, good.
Pandorum? He did Pandorum?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Pandorum. I like. Pandorum's great. Space Madness, man. It's the best.
I haven't seen many of his movies, as it turns out. He directed Soldier with Kurt Russell.
Oh, we just saw that on FilmSack. It's still kind of okay. It's all right.
Yeah, all right. I don't remember it, so I can't say.
Pandorum was cool. Ben Foster was in that. Oh, man. And that Cam Gigabit. What's his name? Cam Gigabit.
Yeah, I think for me, he's like 1 in 20 on movies I liked. I liked Pandorum.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Pompeii. It doesn't. Is that good? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Anyway, sorry. I think I'm who directed Event Horizon?
That's him. That's Paul W.S. Anderson. That's him.
Well, why is it on his list?
I don't know. They only put the bad movies on his list because that's a good movie.
He did, yeah. Because that's why I was like, Event Horizon's amazing. I thought that was Paul W.S.
I don't. Oh,
there's some controversy with that movie though. Like they buried the original or something like that.
Really?
Are you looking at his producer credits, Bo? Because his director credits are different.
Well, I'm on the Wikipedia page. It says filmography, film. And then I'm like, look, oh, there's Event Horizon.
Yeah, if you click on director, his director.
No, I was in the right place. The problem was, I think it was colored differently because I've already been to the Event Horizon Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
And it was, I just did. Yeah, that's the best excuse I have.
It's a decent movie. There's a scene in that movie where. Who's the guy from Jurassic Park? Can't think of his name.
Sam Neill.
Sam Neill, his face is all cracked like a desert. It's pretty cool. Yeah. Scary.
Isn't he missing his eyes at one
point? His eyes are gone. Oh, yeah. Dude.
Oh, that's what the deal was. There was an original print that was worse, but probably better, you know? But, you know, they make them cut awful things out of movies.
And
make them worse. So there was talk about doing a director's cut of that, and apparently the footage was lost in storage somehow, but I think there's some controversy because someone might have done it on purpose or something.
Lawrence Fishburne, freaking Jason Isaacs.
Yeah, that movie's cool.
I'd watch that again. Yeah, it was all right. Anyway. Trailer's up. Go check it out. Monster Hunter, finally, the Japanese sensation with a slight fandom in America.
So it could be really good. It could, because Event Horizon and Pandorum are like really strong favorites, and then the rest of it are like stinkers for the most part. So I don't know.
Also, if you're playing Animal Crossing and you wish you were playing Among Us, the hot new sensation, apparently there is an easy way to create rules in Animal Crossing so that you're basically playing Among Us in Animal Crossing.
What?
Yep.
What?
So here's what you got to do. All right. Simple rule set. That Among Us has got a very simple set of rules. It just works really well when it comes together. So Animal Crossing New Horizons players created a way to have their own murder mysteries play out on the Nintendo's Small Town Simulator, says this article on GameSpot. A Redditor named Mick Mart Perez posted an image with this preferred rule set. Crewmates must complete their tasks, collect every type of fruit, and return to the base before imposters kill them by hitting them with a tool. There are a few other important rules. Killed players must wear red shirts to show they are no longer participating. So you just keep one in your inventory. Emergency meetings can be called by returning to base and sending a message that says EM. A single area must be set up as a meeting area before you start to play. No communicating during the game except while in a meeting. So some of this stuff is, you know, it's honor system. But you can create the exact same rule set as Among Us and play it in Animal Crossing with your friends.
Can I just ask the obvious question? This seems like a lot of hoops to jump through and a lot of effort. Instead of just buying Among Us and playing Among Us with people.
Or get the free version on your phone and play there or whatever.
Yeah,
I tend to agree. But part of me loves that someone did this, John. Some bunch of weirdos went, you know what we could do? We could replicate this experience in this game we're all playing. Something about that I like.
Okay.
But $5 is cheap. You're right. But maybe people are just like, maybe the game... The world to them is Animal Crossing. They don't want to leave. So make a new game there, you know?
The game is so big, now everybody's just saying, that's sus all the time to me. Like, it has become, it's become vocabulary at this point, which means it has transcended. Like, that's how you know a game has ascended. People just start using weird vocabulary they weren't using before.
I still can't play it. It makes me feel bad when I play it. So I don't play it. And I won't be playing it in Animal Crossing. Damn it. That's what I'm saying.
That sounds like somebody who's very sus would say. Did I use that right?
I don't know. Yeah. Did you?
Is sus short for suspect or something else?
Yeah, very suspect.
Short for suspect.
Okay, very sus.
Yeah.
It's all about figuring out who's being suspicious.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So okay. Suspect.
I'm mixing it up with another one that I have questions about. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it on the air, though.
What is it? You can say it. Dick and Balls or whatever it is.
Dick and ball. Yeah, that,
yeah, that's what you can't say. Can't say it on the internet.
No, there's a game.
He whipped out those dick and balls in the conversation.
No, like, there's a popular Steam game called Dick and Balls or something.
No, it's the term simp that's come around. I don't know that. I get why you would associate, because I often talk about these things, but no, I wasn't. My mind was on dick and balls.
All right, hold on. Let me find this so you guys don't know I'm crazy or don't think I'm crazy.
Man, there should be two private investigators. Like, one guy's last name's Dick, the other guy's last name's Balls, and then or a law firm like Dick and Balls Incorporated or something. That'd be great.
Where is it? Yeah. It's got a name. It's called. It dropped. Like John, it was in the top 10. It was in the top 10 for like 2 weeks, and it fell. It's called.
How many of those?
Sorry, there was a joke I told myself. I didn't say it out loud, and it was very funny.
Apparently, yeah. Okay, now I can't find it. It's fallen so far off the list. It was like, it's like cock and balls or dick and balls.
This
or...
is, I found the greatest Wikipedia page of all time. Well, it's not really a page. Never mind.
Dick.
It's ball? A list of people with surname Dick. So everyone with a last name of Dick, and they're all listed on Wikipedia.
Okay. Yeah,
congratulations. You made the list.
Alan Dick, Billy Dick.
I am searching. I can't find it, chat.
I found Christian Dick.
No.
It's a real guy.
Oh.
Okay. 1883 to 1954, Norwegian sailor.
Oh, you know what? Some of these 501 titles are not showing up for me because this is a web search and I'm not logged in. Okay. Because it's kind of, you know, I suppose it's in their naughty category.
Right. They're like... Scott Johnson decided to break bad today and just start looking up dick and balls.
Yeah,
dick and balls. Yeah. Okay, so Ball is a common last name, so we can make this firm. Like, Dick is a last name and Ball is a last name.
Are they
so we
just need the balls to be or are they detectives?
I think both work, but I think we need two balls. Like, we need Jason Ball and, like, Daniel Ball, and they're the balls. And then you got Christian Dick. Christian and then so's Dick and Balls Incorporated.
Someone out there knows this, and they're not saying in the chat, and it's annoying me because I know one of you knows this, but it's some mm-hmm. game that's a penis running around on screen doing stuff. It's like a Metroidvania, but you're a penis and you're shooting down vaginas and stuff. It's a real thing.
Are you talking about Abadox?
No, it's like what I said. It's like something in balls. It might be
what platform?
Steam's where I saw it. And it was number like 3 for weeks. It was like on the top sellers list.
And it had balls in the name?
Oh, it definitely had balls in it. You know what? Why don't I look at my phone because I am logged in there. Let me do that. Steam. Because this is going to drive me crazy. Until I
yeah, I'm just I'm trying to open Steam too. And I'm like, where's the...
All right. Depends on your settings, obviously, because it's just obvious.
Is it called factory balls?
No, balls...
balls. Just keep cricket? Saying balls.
Oh,
it will
what about
appear.
What about? There's a game on Steam called "Oh, you touched my balls."
No,
that's not it. Was it that one?
No,
that's a real game. I'm not kidding. That exists.
That is not it. It's worse
than Balls flirt, Royale.
Flirt balls.
No.
Mega Neo Country balls. Balls Heroes.
Neo balls too. there's a battle balls.
King no. of Dragon Balls.
Did it get pulled?
Flirt balls.
It may have gotten pulled.
Battle balls.
Papper balls?
No, it's like...
Oh. Groove balls. These
balls
are all real games?
With an exclamation
These are all
point
Steam games.
Found
emoji.
It. Found it. $5.
Balls.
It's called Cockhead. There's no balls in it.
Oh, Cockhead. I've seen that.
Yeah.
I saw that too.
It's a little penis man running around, and you fight stuff and whatever. It's got like a really positive review thing. It's $5. It's like a platformer. And
there's like KKK guys in this game.
No, those are they?
Well, I just saw a picture and it looked like supposed to be
and a skeletal RoboCop man.
And they're little sperm guys. I think they're KKK members.
Oh, they're sperm guys. Okay.
Well. Well, anyway, he runs around on his testicles and fights crime or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And he shoots vaginas, which is not a great look.
No, I think these are KKK guys, Scott. I don't think these are sperm guys.
Wait, which picture are you looking at? This is the worst.
The one with the KKK guys in it.
Wait, I'm looking. Okay, that's a robot. Now I have to go back through these images. Are you doing video or
image? It's a bunch of penises wearing white robes and hoods with torches.
Oh, yeah, those are kind of, okay. Oh, yeah. Those are definitely, okay. Yeah, he's an anti-Nazi penis. He goes after the Nazis and the racists.
Oh, does he? Yeah. I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know that this game was bringing us a positive message.
Yeah, it's probably like that, you know, South Park, just really gross, dumb humor. I assume.
I'm sure it is.
The game's called Cockhead, and you got a picture of a seaman with smoking a cigar and has a gun and a knife.
Yeah. Like it's, oh yeah, Ball of Duty's a better name earlier for Elle in the chat. Ball of Duty's great.
I mean, but there are a lot of games
in the description makes me happy. Game have cartoon images of genitals, but they are used only as comic characters.
Game have?
Yeah. Game have cartoon images of genitals.
Yeah. And then, well, you got to read the whole thing. Game does not have any sexual or erotic implication. Oh, because you said so, then that's true.
Yeah.
Game have cartoon images of genitals, but they are used only as comic characters. In our game, we do not hint, say, or show any sexual acts, penetrations, or other things with an erotic component.
I'm trying to figure out what the next bullet point means.
I like how
it's intriguing, but as we said, no more flash. So what awaits the player buying your game? What? What does that mean?
I don't know what that means. I feel like you're installing Russian spyware. Don't install Cockhead.
Like, just by reading it, we're installing it in our brains. Yeah. So maybe we should stop.
The player will be served with the richest hand-drawn art along with a classic platformer sauce. Seasoned with gorgeous pieces in the big band style.
Yeah, you will like this game. We are sure of it. It will not beat Rootkit. Don't worry about Rootkit. We'll not take over computer and give us Bitcoin.
Yeah, they've really messed this up, though. Like, part of the description is thank you so much for that. Perhaps you'd like to say a few words on your own behalf?
What?
Is this a conversation? Like,
I don't know, dude. But I'm telling you right now, those are like... That is some weird... when stuff's written like that, I never trust it. It's not just simple mistranslation. Something's weird.
Yeah, surely. Anyone who doesn't like or just doesn't care about the story, please avoid buying or playing it.
Yeah. Wow.
If you don't like story, stay away from Cockhead. These guys are on...
Well,
these guys are definitely Cockheads for sure.
I didn't think I was gonna play it, but I like story and games, so yeah, I guess do. I gotta play it.
And you like a good dating simulator, so get in there.
I do, but this doesn't look. They're very clear on what this game does and does not contain.
Yeah, Cockhead. Look, man, GameSpot's not covering this, so we have to, guys.
I assume you can stream this on Twitch, or maybe you can't, because Twitch doesn't let you have wieners and stuff.
Do they?
I don't think they do.
I'm going to push that boundary someday. For all the people listening who are too scared to buy Kill the Kill IF, I do own it. And I do plan on streaming it and probably getting my channel banned. So join me for that.
Let me see if there's a category on Twitch right now. If I go C-O-C-K. Oh, yeah. Cockhead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's people playing it. There's a live channel right there. There's a penis fighting a giant slug.
I mean... I assume they're still showing porn in the Artifact channel, so they're probably fine. Yeah. Cockhead's probably fine.
Twitch has bigger fish to fry than Cockhead.
Yeah. all right. And they're right. The chat room said you guys had talked about this more than the WoW stuff. Yeah, you're right. We probably did. I don't even know how we got here, but we did. How did we get here?
Well, you were talking about
Animal Crossing New Horizons and the wholesome... Yeah. Coming together of people to play their favorite games and other games.
Right. And then I was saying...
I did it. Because I just thought you said dick and balls, and then I got carried away.
Oh, and then I went, there's a game called... Yeah,
that's how we got there.
Cuphead with wieners. That's a good way of putting it, chat. All right. Now, on to what I played. Did I play this? No, I didn't. So I did now. I played 30 levels so far of Final Fantasy 14. You may have heard of it. It's an online game. In fact, it's really just Final Fantasy Online, but it's Final Fantasy 14 Reborn or Realm Reborn, although they don't call it that anymore because it's done being reborn. A storied, fabled development, that game. Currently enjoying a big fan base. In fact, nobody shows numbers anymore, but a lot of people think the numbers are higher than World of Warcraft. So I think I get why. That game's great. It's a good game. Yeah.
It's a real good game.
It's got a great loop. It feels like a game that's learned a lot of lessons from other MMOs. It's got some anime cheese in it, but it's the kind I kind of like because I don't have to directly involve myself in it. I just have to watch it and think it's weird. You know what I mean? It's hard to explain.
Yeah.
And it gets better the further you get. Like you go from quests where everyone mouths everything in their cutscenes. Eventually you get to quests where everyone's voiced and the production value goes up exponentially. It's like suddenly they got a bunch of money and started doing it right.
Which city did you start in?
I started in Grandia.
Is that the foresty one?
Yeah, foresty one. That's so just where I put see,
that's, you got to see the opening scene with the little Moogle that comes in just blowing horns in people's faces and then just steals that guy's alcohol for no good reason.
Freaking Moogles, dude. That's the other thing. Those are shitty. I hate them. I can't stand them. But then I kind of like them. Like the game is clearly, in a lot of ways, it does the fan service thing of just saying, hey, remember this music that's sort of kind of playing in the background that sort of reminds you of all the Final Fantasies ever? And hey, remember these Moogle things that are from old stuff? Chocobos, everybody. How do you feel about Chocobos? Like all of that stuff's happening. So you're getting your Final Fantasy sort of, even your nostalgia, even if you never really played those games, you know what all this stuff is. But the actual game loop is what's grabbed me. Something is really driving me to quest and to get stuff done and to try stuff. And
it's not tangible because I think on paper, it doesn't sound good. Like on paper, if you were trying to describe what this game does,
right,
you'd kind of be describing vanilla WoW.
Yeah.
In ways. Yeah. And you're like, well, they give you quests and you go do them. And you'd be like, uh-huh.
Yeah, and tell me more.
You get experience and you level up. Okay. And it's a fascinating world.
Gridania.
Great.
Sorry, Gridania.
So it's one of those things where there's something about this MMO that it feels very antiquated, but at the same time, it feels antiquated when you think about it, not when you're actually playing it.
Right.
When you're playing it, you're just like, oh, this is fun. I'm having a good time. I'm loving what I'm doing. I'm playing a damn MMO and I'm feeling good about it.
Yeah.
But then you think back to it, you think back to what you were doing and you're like, I was just doing MMO stuff. I was killing five whatevers.
Yeah.
Frogs. Like five tree ants or frogs or whatever.
Yeah.
Like it does it. But for some reason, it felt very satisfying in that game. And they give you just enough story peppered in to keep you going.
Yeah.
As we talked about when I got into it, I didn't make it to the stuff where people go, oh my gosh, this is when the real game kicks in. Scott, you're still not there yet either. Right. But even in that early stuff, the Realm Reborn stuff, like there's something to it. There's something to it that's just real good.
Yeah, I can't explain it. I like how it looks. I like how it feels. Like graphically, it's very nice. I don't know. I don't know why I like it. I like it, though. I like it quite a bit. I'm actually really torn right now between that and playing this early WoW content. I mean, Shadowlands will suck me in pretty much completely until I've had my way with it. But this is a great stand-in. And this stuff, by the way, if you own the game, is free till 60 now. So you don't have to pay anything till you get there. And I think there's where it starts with the Heavensward stuff, right? Or somewhere. Yeah. Maybe it's 50, whatever it is. And apparently,
somewhere in there.
Or Heaven's Sword or Heaven's Word? Heaven's Word.
Heaven's Ward.
Ward. Like moving. Where are you going? I'm pointing Heaven's Word like that.
Heaven's Ward.
It's dumber.
Everybody
than
has
you
a
say
strangely
it.
British accent in that game.
Yeah. Like it's again, and I think you'll key on this, I think. It's that Japanese version of fantasy as opposed to Western RPG tropes. So it feels like, you know, it's their take on elves. It's their take on what big buff dudes are, or it's their take on, you know, tropes like dragons and whatever. It's just different. It's just, it's Final Fantasy and it's clearly that, and they don't shy away from it. It's okay. And it's developed by Japanese people, and the guy in charge of it is a Japanese guy and everyone has to translate everything he ever says to anybody because no one knows what he's saying. Like It's a Japanese product. And I think that both lends some legitimacy to the kind of experience it is, but also it's like John keeps trying to describe, it's hard to describe why, but something about it feels good minute to minute. Like when I am in playing that game, something feels good. And it's not just the combat. The combat, if anything, is, it's just wow combat. It's, you know, a set of numbers and you have cooldowns and hit the ones when they're, you know, up, and you know, it's one of those again. But for some reason it just feels good, and everything between feels good, and I can't wait to go talk to these people. And if they're getting too wordy, and some of them do get a little too wordy, lots of text, just click click click, who cares, get done, go do the next quest. Like it's not something where you feel like you have to hang on everybody's words. And I guess later it's all lots of pre-rendered, not pre-rendered, but, you know, cutscenes with like spoken dialogue and all that, that are really interesting. Great villains, great heroes, that sort of stuff. And I'm really enjoying it. I don't know why I'm enjoying it so much, but I'm enjoying it. And yes, English actors. They have English actors and all that stuff. There aren't Japanese people talking. So
have you gotten to Ifrit yet? The Ifrit fight?
I'm trying to remember the Ifrit fight. Is it the blonde guy that's angsty?
No, it's a dungeon where you fight a giant fire monster. It's no. Just one boss fight dungeon.
Haven't done that yet.
Okay, so it's funny that you're not there yet, but I'm happy to hear that you still like it this much. That was the moment for me where I was like, oh, this game could potentially be really cool, which was just doing my quest thing, and all of a sudden I got kidnapped and I got locked in a... So it's actually really weird to think of it from a World of Warcraft perspective, because we're so used to you have to, or it's optional to go do group content.
Right.
This game doesn't do that. When you get to a dungeon, this game goes, if you want to see the story, go to the dungeon.
Yeah.
And
it'll let you queue with other people you don't know. So it's not like you have to find people who are willing to go with you. You can just get in there. But yeah, you're right.
And again, the community's great. They've been amazing. Like everybody I've run anything with has been super cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, they make you go and do stuff. And when you get to this part, you get basically captured. And when you wake up from being knocked out, you're in just a one room cave, and the dungeon entrance is right there. And I sat there and I thought, am I locked into this room until I run this dungeon? Did they just lock my character in a closet and go, you gotta go do the dungeon?
Yeah.
If you want to get out of here, you better go run this raid. And it's really weird. I was very tempted to do that game's equivalent of Hearthing to see if I could get out of there, if there was another option. But then I didn't know how to get back because I didn't know where I was because I got abducted.
Sure.
So I was like, I don't know what to do. I guess I'll just do this raid, and went and ran it. And it was really, really cool. People are saying there's a way out. I didn't see it. Wasn't paying enough attention, I guess. I thought I was
kind of like that you ended up running it, though. I like that you did the thing the game wanted you to do. Like
that was a crazy cool moment. That was very big, very cinematic, and it made me just like pump my fist. I was like, yes, we're gonna do this. This is amazing. I can't believe what we're about to do.
Someone in the chat room said it really well a second ago. They said, I don't know who said it. I want to give credit and I can't find it, but it basically says this is not an MMORPG, it is an RPG MMO, which is an interesting way to look at it. Like, and even if you don't like Japanese RPG tropes from your JRPGs of the past or whatever, or you don't like the angsty, cheesy acting or whatever it is, it does seem to want to put that first, but then you're happy to be playing it too. Like, it's hard for me to explain, but I really like it. I think I'm going to keep going. I'm at least going to 60, where you can play until you don't have to pay a dime till then.
Allura said it really well too. This is a story where you, not Thrall, are the hero. And this game does a very good job of going, it's not about these other characters in the world. Like, you're the character you are, and you're very important, not just to the world, but to the people you're interacting with.
Yeah. And it feels like it. It's also a lot of cool steampunk crap in there. A lot of Star Wars-y type stuff. I know they have guest directors come in. most recently, and I've been playing that too, but most recently they had the lead or the game director on Nier Automata come in and do a whole raid. And that raid drops gear that looks like the Nier Automata stuff. So other games get their stuff in there. I saw somebody driving around in a car that came out of Final Fantasy 15. So it was his mount. I don't know how he got it, but it's whatever. It has no problem kind of having fun in that way as well. But it, in a weird way, it takes itself seriously. In other ways, it's very lighthearted. And I will echo what John says about the community. I was in just some random, they call them duties. Basically, they're instances.
Tries call to create, them duties?
Yeah, D-U-T-Y. So duty complete, and you can get out of it. It's very, It's just a totally weird approach, but but I'm in my very first one with a bunch of people I didn't know. And when it got done, all of them were like, thanks for the group, guys. Hey, that was awesome. Well done. Good job, everybody. And I'm like level 8 then or something. And it was just a really, that was nice because I don't get that anymore in any MMOs ever, anywhere.
I've heard that FF14 is pretty polite.
Yeah. Nice. I don't know what causes a culture to do that. I don't get it. It's maybe it's
I think it's appealing to certain type of person in a Western audience. Yeah. And they're all together, so they're among friends, probably.
It's all the Moogles. They're bringing the mail. The Moogles are the mail, too, so they bring you mail shit. I don't mean the mail. I mean, like, mail. Postage. Sorry.
Is there open world PvP in this or no?
There's PvP, but I've not touched any of it, so I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know anything about the PvP.
I mean, the game system's also dictated, because I'm just like, my MMO experience has been Black Desert Online. That's a wasteland of terrible incels. Basically.
Yeah.
So it's okay. It looks good, but am I missing out on anything? I guess is my question.
I mean, I don't know. I didn't know if I was either, and I'd already owned it and just hadn't done it. And I just thought, well, why don't I just try this and give it a shot? Actually, Bo, I have a code.
No. Don't. If it's a code for Final Fantasy 14, keep it.
I should give it to you. You should try it.
No, like, I can't. I can't. I have to be very careful about starting an MMO right now. It's not a good idea. MMO is
probably it's a bad idea.
Yeah. I mean, I'm reserving space on my shelf for Torghast.
Yeah.
But I can't. Black Desert nearly killed me.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot you're just coming off of that. Speaking of.
I've been playing Hades, but like I did a long stint. I did a pretty hardcore stint in Black Desert for a while. And. Yeah, it's kind of nice to get your life back a little bit when you're off of an MMO being obsessed with it.
And well, that actually
convinces, I have a hard time with moderation. So.
That actually convinces me that you might like this more than you think, because if you liked Black Desert, there are definitely some tonal similarities to it.
Yeah, the tonal is the thing that I have a hard time going back to right now is the combat in Black Desert is good. Like, it's not targeting. It's you know, actual fighting, and that feels... I want that from an MMO I play, I'm desirous of that. So if anything, Elder Scrolls seems like the pick if I was to go for a mainstream MMO.
Funny you brought that up, because I went ahead and played some of that yesterday too, because I've been like, all right, well, let's give all three of these a spin. We got a little pre-patch time, we got a little Final Fantasy 14 time, a whole bunch of time. And then I thought, well, let's hop in here. And I haven't bought Greymoor, so I don't have the latest stuff, but I went in there just with a character. And that game's still great too. It's a great time for MMOs. It really is. Like, WoW's got, like, decent competition, and there's compelling reasons to be into most of those games. And then there's a ton of other also-rans that you could get into if you wanted to. Like, everyone always wants to say, we're done with MMOs. That time has come and gone. I'm not so sure. That stuff's everywhere. And people are finding their way in whatever they like. So it's a good time to be a fan. Anyway, so that's what I did. John, more Hades. How'd that go for you?
Great.
Yeah.
I think I've beaten the game about 23 times now is the last count that I saw. 23 successful escapes from the underworld. And I've been unlocking the fourth aspect of most of the weapons. And, you know, the game gives you lots of little cool things to set as goals, whether that's getting the fourth aspects, whether that's just getting materials to level up your weapons, or... you know, power yourself up some more for future runs. There's a whole thing called the Pact of Punishment, which is changing your difficulty level and finding ways to increase it. So I think I'm up to level 6 or 7 on my Pact of Punishment for certain weapons getting out of the dungeon. I'm trying to make my way towards the true ending to the game. So the game has three endings. There's what you learn the first time you make it out successfully. There's the after, I don't know how many escapes it is, but there's an event that lets you see credits. And then apparently there is a true ending that happens if you meet certain conditions thereafter. The game just put in a patch post that kind of a little prophecy on your prophecy table that hints at what you need to do to make that final ending happen. So I'm working towards that. I'm building my relationships with people. I'm only just now unlocking summons, which is a whole thing where you can summon in allies to come in and help you in fights. And I've gotten about three of those, and those are all very different. So it's crazy. I mean, it's still nuts how much stuff I feel like I'm unlocking and finding in that game. I just read this week article about how people are speedrunning it and completing runs in about 8 minutes to get through all of it.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, let's see what they're doing. And it's, of course, using a powered up version of a weapon that I never use. So I was like, well, maybe I'll try it. Maybe I'll give it a go and see how it does. And I am getting so the secret, the way speedrunners are doing it is they have fully powered the version of the rail gun where if you stand in the explosion, you get a damage boost.
Oh, yeah, that's the one I use. That's good.
So at a maximum upgrade, you do 75% more damage if you stand in it. And then they take abilities where you have dash abilities that either is Zeus's lightning or Poseidon's wall crash, and you boost those way up. And they basically go in a room, they shoot it at the enemies, they stand in it, and then they dash around a bunch and kill everything almost immediately. So wow. I'm looking forward to experimenting with that. It turns out all those weapons can get pretty overpowered if you max them out. I wasted a ton of the Titan Bloods or whatever the currency is because of frickin' Skelly. He played a trick on me, and he made me spend a bunch of Bloods that I didn't mean to.
Well, for his quest.
Did he do this to you where he told you?
So I've also completed the game, although I don't think I did because of the way the game is unfolding. I don't really feel like I've finished it, but yes, he has this quest. Get a max level of the first tier of the sword, right?
Yeah.
And then it's like, smack him. And I'm like, yeah. So the thing that I wasn't obvious is that the upgrades for that one only costed one blood per upgrade, whereas for the other weapons, it goes 1, 2, 3, 4. So you end up spending a ton of the Titan Bloods on it.
Yeah.
Interesting. But yeah, I did that as well. And
and then he just comes right back and is like, gotcha.
Yeah.
What a dick.
But it's very dramatic. When you play it, and he's just very sad and like, please free me. And you've been beating him up for like 2 weeks solid. You're like, okay, let's let this guy go. And then he trolls you. He's like, no, I love getting beat up. That's what I do, boyo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
is there an upper limit to stuff? Like, is there any kind of ceiling to all this progression in the game?
Well, we basically have torment levels, except they do it in a really unique way. Rather than just increase power, mm-hmm. it's just like modify. It's mutators. So like, guys now have extra abilities. Guys have more health. And you just pick your poison. But as you crank up the heat level, it's like, you know, your greater rift levels, like you can go all the way up to like 59. And I think you're meant to, because as I increase the heat level, there's new story happening. Like, not just new dialogue from the guy. People are posed in scenes in rooms I haven't seen before during the campaign doing shit. And I'm like, I'm not going to be out of this game for a while. Like,
yeah.
So it's, I'm at heat level. I think the highest I've cleared is 3. So I don't know when they're going to end the story on heat levels, but it can go up to, I think, as high as 59.
Yeah. So it feels like this game is ripe for like DLC at some point.
Yeah. And it's per weapon. So I have like, you know, 2 on most of my weapons for heat level now.
Yeah.
It's crazy the level of depth in this, and even just the things the game recognizes. I did one run where I didn't find a Daedalus hammer usually you will in the first or second zone, or yeah, fairly quickly you'll find
pretty
one.
Quick, yeah.
And I got to Meg and she's like, your weapon looks a little rusty. What, you didn't find a Daedalus hammer this go around? And I was like, oh, why is she talking to me about this?
That's the thing about this game. Yeah. It's like something will happen. Yeah. Something will happen. And the game will comment on it as if it knows what's in your head.
Yep.
The number of times I even had, we even clipped it out. I got to go get it. A character will be like, I'll be like, man, that sucks. And then the character will be like, man, that sucks. And I'll be like,
stop! Get out of my head! Damn game!
I never had a game do that so much, so consistently, and react so much to all the events in the game in full production value the way it is. It's, I love it.
Who, I want to know who plays Hades, or Meg, sorry, in that game, because I want to hate make out with her.
Wow. Whoa. That's a description.
That's you get to do that in the game. There's a romance option for her.
There is? Jeez.
Yeah, I romanced Meg. It happened. Yeah.
All right. Because
I think she's your only romance option. I think the other ones just help you with their little problems. It just
I don't know. Thanatos is getting pretty hot and heavy Thanatos. I've raised his level up. He's getting pretty flirty.
Maybe you and voices
Avalon Penrose is the name.
That's the name of the actor?
Yeah.
Who's really Avalon Penrose?
Well, a lot of them are actually people who work on the game too.
Yeah, she works at Supergiant.
She has an amazing voice for that character. I do not want her to feel uncomfortable because I know she's a real person. But the character in the game, I'm supposed to hate Meg and kill her, right? Beat her. But I kind of want to.
Yeah, I think I found her Insta. If you want to, like, oh god, I said Insta. God help me. But there you go. Let's see who that is.
Oh yeah, there she is. She seems nice. She's in front of a guitar a lot for some reason. I don't know why. Anyway,
they just put the microphone really close to her when she was recording her lines.
That's, it's a lot of ASMR stuff.
Right here. Okay, here. Like, yeah.
I see.
Hello, Zagreus.
Yes, you've come back. Why?
We meet here again.
That must have been on purpose. That stuff, you know.
Yeah. Stop making moist sounds over the microphone.
Gross. All right. Well,
I mean, the rest of the world's doing it. There's like 5,000 people on Twitch right now in their microphones going, listen to this.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. And that's why we're not listening to them. And thankfully, all of you here listening to us now as well. Whatever ASMR.
Oh, it's, sorry, it's not on my list. I don't want to, if we want to keep talking about Hades, Bo needs to talk about it. But just FYI, I did play more Star Wars Squadrons.
Oh,
just the tutorial.
Yeah, how do you like it?
It's good. It's the biggest problem I have, and I said it while I was streaming some of it, is I felt a little like I was playing Anthem. Okay. When I'm playing the game part, I feel very good about it. I like flying around. I like shooting. The graphics look good. It's scratching that itch. When I'm outside of it, they definitely think I'm more interested in talking to all these people than I'm actually interested in talking to all these people. And it seems like that's optional, but it's just a lot of like, and you're just in one place because it's a VR game as well.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden someone will come up to you and they'll just be like, hey there, my name's Gunny, and I look like a burnt raisin, and I'm an alien, and I want to tell you about my dog, and I'm going to talk about some other stuff. Anyway, it's crazy. We're going to go fight the Empire, right? Yep, those guys suck. And it just goes and goes and goes, and it's like, man, you guys think I'm way more interested in this than I actually am. And I'm into Star Wars, and even I'm sitting there going like, why do I care about this? Put me in the ship, and let me go do the stuff.
Yeah. Just let me get in there. Yeah, I've heard similar stuff before.
Gameplay-wise, it's there. And considering I suspect that the campaign is only a minor part of this game and it's mostly about getting in and doing the big multiplayer fights, whether you're doing that alone or, you know, online, I think it's fine.
Okay. Well, a rousing review from Sean.
I think it's fine. With John Jagger.
Yeah. The gameplay is really good. The stuff that needed to be good is good.
Okay.
Okay.
Put that on the box.
The periphery maybe leaves a little bit to be desired.
The stuff that needed to be good is good. John Jagger, GameSpot.
That's amazing. All right. Well, fair enough. let's do this now. We got a mashup. Oh, Bo, any other thoughts about Hades, which I know you've been playing?
On an adventure, man.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking week over week about my, like, hey, man, like, I've gone through some mental health distress and, you know, I got to stay away from games. And I'm just like, I am completely all the way in the bucket, so to speak. I've been playing a lot of video games. I've played a lot of Hades specifically.
Now, would you say, just for the sake of that dude who's mad at me because he thinks I'm an enabler, would you say it is the fault of this show or the fault of John or myself that you have?
Okay, John said, Bo, don't play this game. It's your perfect kind of game. Crofton said, Bo, don't play this game. It's your perfect kind of game. Scott said, yo, I think you'd like it. And just like. but Scott's being honest too. He's not trying to encourage me. We do reviews of games. Like, were we never gonna talk about how a game is good or not?
Right.
Do this thing. Like, come on. I gotta, you know, do that. So I tried it. I didn't have to, but it seemed good, and it was way better than I expected. Also, I've owned it for the past year, so it was nothing.
Yeah, you already.
It's not like I went out and had to buy it. It's just like, let me install and see what's up with this thing. Finally. I have yet to play Disco Elysium, but I bought that like almost a year ago as well. So,
you should play Disco Elysium.
He'll love that. Anyway, that's so up.
I know. I got a big list, and I'm taking my time. So right now, I'm sort of doing my binge, and as soon as I'm ready to come up for air, I'm going to do that and probably take a break from a game till whatever was next, which I think is Cyberpunk. Honestly, Cyberpunk.
Yeah. Because what else is there between now and then? That's
Hades is a modern classic, dude. Like, it's
great.
The Diablo 2 of what it is, if that makes any sense. Like, I don't think it's going to be mainstream success, but for a roguelite, it is the pinnacle and perfection of what a action roguelike would be. It's FTL is a different thing. But if you're playing with a controller and you want thumb candy and you want replayability, this is the game.
Yeah, it's a bar raiser, man. And I would call it, it's inching into the kind of mainstream success you'd see from bigger games. But
I'm not saying that they're like niche, but like people aren't, you know, they talk about Blizzard, they talk about whatever. No one's like super giant games, but it is getting a lot of attention and they always do, but just not, you know. Yeah, there's a difference, right?
I checked the Nintendo store the other day or the Nintendo Digital store the other day. Number one on their sales charts. Like, that thing is killing it over there, too.
Even Jason Schreier was like, don't play Hades unless all you want to do is think about Hades.
Yeah, because Hades is great.
And I'm like, that's nailed it. Like,
it's a good game. The thing with it is it feels bar-raisy in that everyone else who wants to make a game like this moving forward has something to compare themselves against. And that's both good and bad. Like, games in current development that are in early access or otherwise, like... Rogue Legacy 2, which is has such an amazing, that was it of its time.
I was going to say, I said that about Rogue Legacy at the time. I thought nobody will be able to outdo this.
Yeah.
Since then, people have. And now as a result, Rogue Legacy 2, I'm like,
it's
good.
It's okay. It's just, it's more of the first one, really. And that's okay. I mean, maybe this will motivate them to just go bananas with it. And it'll be a billion times better by the time it comes out. But I don't know. I feel like Hades, again, new standard. So everybody get your shit together and try to compete with Hades now. All right. I'm going to
play. The art is so beautiful, too. Just one more comment about the art.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Buying the unlocks to make your place, Hades home, House of Hades, prettier is actually it's some of the best cosmetic upgrades I've ever bought for free with in-game currency, but I love them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Did you see they added a bunch of them too in this last patch?
Yeah.
That are ridiculously expensive where you just change the entire theme of it to where instead of, you know, they call it the Zagreus theme is what we have by default, but you can make it.
Oh, I saw them, but I didn't. I meant to look at what they looked like because they're asking. It's like 5,000 gemstones for
one. Yeah, I haven't been able to buy one yet. I don't have that much money.
Yeah. But they know what people crave, so that's smart for them to be doing that. I forgot to tell you guys this quick story about it. I got into Hades, whatever it was, some time ago, and unlocked the final weapon. I'm way behind you guys in terms of how far I've been, but I had enough keys to get the gun, and that was going to do it. I'd have everything, so I was sweet. I'm going to go buy this gun. I'm just going to quit after I get the gun because I got some stuff to do. So I'm going to quit here. So I get the gun and I quit. And I didn't quit for like 5-6 minutes. And when I quit, it said, hey, your last save was a couple of minutes ago. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. I've been standing here for five ever since I bought that gun. I've killed the skeleton twice with it, just screwing around with it. I'm good. I got out. Got in the next time to play, and I'm like, well, I got all these extra keys. I should spend these. I'm going to go spend these. So I went and spent them on a bunch of stuff, and then went outside and went, the gun's not unlocked. It didn't save. Yeah.
If you want to save, you got to walk back and forth between your bedrooms.
Sorry.
Dumbass.
That was totally an accident. I did not mean to push that. But that was
just perfect. Kidding. No, there's a little save icon on the top right, and when you walk in and out, it'll show you the save. So if you do want to, it's happened to me, except I didn't make the mistake you did, but I came back and I was like, I thought I unlocked all this stuff. Yeah. It doesn't save. So if you buy all your shit and then leave, it doesn't save. So you have to move back to the bedroom, then back into the room, and then log off.
I should have done it.
Pro tip from a guy who's played 100 hours in 2 weeks.
So I ended up buying it again. Just, you know, I went back and earned it again, and it was not that big a deal, but it still annoyed me that I did that.
I want you to start playing it more because I want to talk strategy. I've had like a 500-page conversation on Slack with Crofton about it because he can't beat it. Yeah. He's done a lot of runs and he still hasn't beat it. I'm like on 7 or 8 kills or 10 or whatever, and I'm just like, man, you're not good at this game.
Well, he knows it's not a pickpocket simulator, right? He can't just run around and get gold out of pockets while he's supposed to be fighting.
Yeah, he has to do things like get defenses. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah,
it's not all about attack damage. Kyle Ferguson said one of the wisest things is that, you know, staying alive means more damage.
Yeah.
It's all like defending yourself is a DPS increase because you live longer to dish out more damage.
That is some Kyle wisdom right there. Yeah. I love when Kyle talks like that. It's great.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to play a mashup. Jamie put this together. He's been very excited for us to play this. So apparently there's some real goodness in here. The name of this mashup is called Danger Zone. And I don't know what it is. I don't remember talking about Danger Zone. So we're going to find out now. With this, I like to watch Bo log off. Yeah. But it just sounded dirty. Oh shit!
I guess if you tap me with something, it's fine. We're human. Just, you know, as long as it stops there. If it turns into anything worse, it's good.
I'd be okay with a divot over this, like a fleshy divot instead of a freaking hot pink.
Look, it worked for Cindy Crawford, man. I say own it.
Oh, I remember you, Ranger. You made me feel like shit last time we were.
I'm not going after Satan's spaghetti or whatever his name is. What is it? Satan's Slurpee.
Is that that's that Eminem song you named himself after?
Yeah,
right?
I'm going after Satan's spaghetti. I got it. John in the middle, on his back, looking up. Bo, fetal position. He's on this side, aiming at the wall. Fetal position for me, aiming at the wall. What was his name? Raymond or Rimjob? Something like that.
Barry.
Whoa.
What is it? Ribbon. Rye. Carvin. Kevin.
Carvin.
Kevin. I don't know what it is.
Carvin the Wonder Twin. You have to call him three times, to get him to answer. Yeah. And each time he goes, brrr, as he looks down.
Oh, man. Mario got me again. Time to change up my fight here. And now my tail.
And then when he finally answers the phone, he goes, brrr, brrr. I might have to take back my thoughts on the fist. That run was good.
No, you heard
good.
It here first.
I still
John,
like the spear.
John likes fisting, is what he's saying. But you bend over and you get full coin slot.
I mean, isn't that a pants issue, too, if it's full coin slot?
Yeah. If you're getting full coin slot, it's
full, I imagine full coin slot is maybe like a good 25% of the buttock.
Yep.
Worst. Why am I between two buns? If you guys get gas, I'm in the danger zone. I got cannons aimed from both directions. I can't turn anywhere. I don't like them.
For some reason, I just see you sitting motionless, staring at that thing, repeating some kind of mantra in your head to like help you deal with this situation.
Okay.
I don't know why. Yeah, I like this like Overwatch remix thing he's got in the bass.
Yeah,
that's
it's
cool.
Pretty good.
Yeah, that's really awesome.
Yeah, he actually reached out and said, hey, Bo, do you got any music that's good for this? I'm like, yeah, here, check it out my SoundCloud page. He's like, no, this is all not good.
Yeah, I'm not going to use
and
this.
And then he went to do something else. I was like, that's about right.
Jamie's the best. Jamie, thank you. I think he's in the chat. But if not, you can follow him on Twitter at TMS Mashups. He makes great stuff from shows, and this is no exception. So well done. Good stuff as always. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you all for listening to us. Hanging out, being here, being a part of the show. We're back every Wednesday, usually right around 5 p.m. Mountain Time. And we'd love to have you here live at frogpants.tv. If you can't make it, the podcast is totally fine, too. So go check us out there. You can find all the details at frogpants.com/core or wherever you get your podcasts. Even Amazon has a directory now, so you can go use them if you want to. I don't know why you would, but maybe you would. It's fine if you do. You can support us at patreon.com/core show. Huge thanks to everyone who does. We're halfway through the month. Still time to get in there and get some stuff going for yourself so that you can get bonus content each and every week, plus extra stuff during the month. So go check it out. That's patreon.com/core show. You can find John on Twitter, John_Jagger. I'm at Scott Johnson. Bo is at Bo Schwartz. And the show is at Core Pod. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Bo, for John. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.